Welcome to the PRI Review, brought to you by the Population Research Institute. I'm your host, Christopher Mannion. Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. The Alabama Senate race is a matter of life and death. Judge Roy Moore is unabashedly pro-life. Doug Jones, starkly pro-abortion. PRI President Stephen W. Mosier reports. On December 12th, the voters of Alabama will have a clear choice between a Senate candidate who believes that life begins at conception and one who believes that a baby can be killed up to the moment of birth. Judge Moore has been an unabashed champion for life for decades, while Democrat Doug Jones has been an equally ardent backer of abortion and Planned Parenthood. You may be forgiven for not knowing this, since the mainstream media, led by the Washington Post and the New York Times, has been doing its best to distract us from the real issues in the Alabama Senate race. Moore's campaign website clears away the chaff. The judge clearly and forcefully states his pro-life position and specifically calls for Planned Parenthood to be defunded. I oppose abortion. Federal funding for Planned Parenthood or any form of abortion should be stopped. Jones, on the other hand, hides his radical pro-abortion sentiments behind pro-choice rhetoric as follows. I will defend a woman's right to choose and stand with Planned Parenthood. When MSNBC's Chuck Todd asked Jones if he would support legislation that banned late-term abortions, the Democratic candidate doubled down. I'm not in favor of anything that is going to infringe on a woman's right and her freedom to choose. That's just the position that I've had for many years. It's a position I continue to have. He continues, but when those people, I want to make sure that people understand that once a baby is born, I'm going to be there for that child. That's where I become a right-to-lifer. Jones's radical position was immediately condemned by many, including Susan B. Anthony List President Marjorie Dannenfelser. Doug Jones clearly has no problem with the fact that the U.S. is only one of seven nations, alongside North Korea and China, to allow elective abortion on demand after 5 months, Dannenfelser says. His extremism puts him dramatically out of step with Alabama voters. Alabama is one of 20 states to take a stand against the brutality of late-term abortions, having approved a state limit in 2011. Polls consistently show that a large majority of Americans, women in higher numbers than men, support bringing our national laws into line with basic human decency. Jones is out to impress the big abortion lobby and the big money abortion lobby, but this does nothing for his chances against Judge Moore. Democrat Jones has not shied away from embracing big abortion either, publishing pictures of himself at Planned Parenthood functions. He is even on record as supporting a repeal of the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits the use of taxpayer money to pay for abortions. Needless to say, the repeal of this amendment, which was originally passed with bipartisan support in the U.S. Congress, would be another windfall for abortionists. Jones's position on abortion is identical to that of failed Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Both believe that unborn babies have no constitutional rights. Joe Godfrey, executive director of Alabama Citizens Action Program, LCAP, reflects the concerns of many Alabamans about Jones' embrace of abortion when he says, conservatives need to understand that while we are unsure about Roy Moore's past, we are very sure that Doug Jones does not share our Alabama values. Mosier continues, I, for one, am not interested in hearing about 40-year-old allegations aired by pro-abortion media outlets. I am only interested in protecting the right to life of any unborn children conceived in these United States in years to come. Doug Jones would use my tax dollars to fuel Planned Parenthood's industrial-sized killing machine. Roy Moore would do everything in his power to not only end the funding, but to end abortion itself. This is PRI Review from pop.org. We'll be right back. Do you want to win pro-life legislative and political battles? For years, PRI has been helping pro-life leaders on the ground around the world to win legislative and political battles in order to protect the lives of the unborn. And now we're asking for your help so we can continue this vital work. Let me tell you more. In a number of countries around the world, there are still pro-life laws on the books. But the Planned Parenthood Abortion Liberales Malthusians are out there to get rid of those laws. Nearly 5 years ago, the Pontifical Council on the Family asked PRI to be the main organization to help the pro-life movements around the world to be more effective. In response to the Vatican's request, we created our Pro-Life Victory Seminars and our Pro-Life Strategy Guide. The seminars are grueling, demanding 12 to 14-hour intense working sessions. Only the most proven and successful leaders are invited to speak. Only the best and the most committed activists are invited to attend. To date, we have conducted 60 such sessions in 18 countries. We have trained more than 1,700 people who are serious about protecting the unborn in their respective countries. They have won some victories, but I'm not going to tell you about those because I don't want to put a target on the back of those leaders. I'm not going to tell you the names of their countries either because I don't want to make it even harder for them to do their work. But here's a hint. Most, though not all, have Spanish as their native tongue. It's no secret that south of our border, pro-abortionists are zeroing in on the existing pro-life laws in that part of the world. I cannot tell you the battle stories, although there are many, without endangering the victories of the leaders. I must ask you to take my word that some battles in some countries could not have been won without the training and support received from PRI. What kind of training am I talking about? Everywhere in the world, defenders of life need everything: strategic thinking skills, campaign skills, legislative skills, lobbying skills, to protect their pro-life laws and to stop pro-death initiatives. Around the world, we found that the biggest thing lacking is know-how. By that, I mean political sophistication. Here in America, we've been fighting pro-life battles for almost 50 years, and while we haven't won definitively, we have learned a lot about how to fight, as well as how not to fight. One of the most important tools of our pro-life victory training is the manual that the trainees get to take home with them. The Pro-Life Strategy Guide, the guide to winning pro-life battles. Think of it as a field guide to activism. The guide is a compendium of know-how. It is 200 pages of distilled experience and wisdom, with step-by-step instructions about how to advance our issue in a representative landscape. Here's a small sampling of the know-how delivered in these training sessions. How to raise money. How to lobby legislators, how to write powerful pro-life advertising, how to effectively appear on TV and radio, how to enlist volunteers, how to get out the vote, and how to successfully debate pro-abortionists. All this and much, much more is covered in the training program and reinforced in the training guide. The first edition came out in 2012, but we are all out of them now. They have all been put in the hands of able pro-life leaders. So today we have had it revised and updated by two of the best and most successful activists in the Spanish-speaking world. Today the new PRI, Pro-Life Strategy Guide, the guide to winning pro-life battles, is ready to go to press. This is where you come in. Will you help us get it into the hands of the people who need it? It's in Spanish right now, and that's as it should be, because we distribute it throughout the Spanish-speaking world. The Vatican wants this field manual in every diocese in the world. Will you help me to fulfill that request? PRI has ordered 10,000 copies of the guide to be printed, enough for every student who will attend our training sessions for the next several years, along with all the actively pro-life bishops around the world. Just the printing alone will cost $50,000. The whole International Victory Training Program costs another $50,000, and that is in addition to the field guide. But right now we want to get those guides printed. So I turn to you because I know you understand its value. The cost comes out to about $5 per book, which is not very much considering the impact it can have and the lives it can save. With your tax-deductible gift of $50, PRI can put this guide into the hands of 10 in-country pro-life leaders. With a gift of $100, we can make sure that 10 friendly bishops get a copy to guide their strategic thinking in the protection of life. No gift is too small. If you can only spare $5, please send it today. Unborn babies around the world will be safer because of your sacrifice today. Can we count on you to help PRI to continue to train and empower the pro-life movement around the world? On behalf of all those fighting to preserve pro-life laws around the world, thank you. No, Stephen Hawking, population growth is not going to turn Earth into a ball of fire. It's a curious thing. At times, the most brilliant scientists and mathematicians throughout history have held some of the most preposterous beliefs. For instance, René Descartes, inventor of modern analytic geometry in the Cartesian plane, believed that the pineal gland was the seat of the human soul. Sir Isaac Newton, the father of classical mechanics, the laws of motion, and co-discoverer of calculus, believed that one could predict the future through hidden secrets written in the Bible. And William Herschel, who discovered the planet Uranus, believed that, based on astronomical principles and the italics were in the original text, the sun had a solid surface with mountains and valleys, and was most probably also inhabited by alien life. Even Albert Einstein, for years, refused to believe, contrary to all observational evidence, in an expanding universe. Einstein initially rejected the theory of an expanding universe proposed by Georges Lemaître, former president of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, a Jesuit priest, and one of the leading astrophysicists of the mid-20th century. Lemaître's theory became what is now known as the Big Bang Theory. Now, world-renowned physicist Stephen Hawking has reclaimed that overpopulation and an excessive consumption of energy will turn Earth into a ball of fire by the year 2600, according to Metro. Hawking made the eyebrow-raising claim in a video address delivered at the Tencent We Summit in Beijing recently. Now, Hawking's ball of fire statement prefaced an appeal to the scientific community to support Breakthrough Starshot, a venture to launch a nano spacecraft capable of reaching Alpha Centauri, our nearest neighboring star system, in about 20 years. Hawking hopes that such a mission could reveal potentially habitable planets for future generations. Hawking made the case that humanity must boldly go where no one has gone before in order for humanity to continue for another million years. Well, this curious observation arises. Why would population controllers care about the future of humanity? They seem to be more interested in wiping it out, at least the better part of it. But moving right along, while it may be important for humanity to find other nearby habitable planets as possible plan Bs in the event of a worldwide catastrophe, population growth and energy consumption are certainly not projected to turn Earth into a ball of fire. In fact, world population is projected to slow over the course of the remainder of this century. The annual population growth rate has plummeted since the 1960s with no signs of reversing anytime soon. Now, the United Nations Population Division projects that world population will approach leveling off by 2100. The total population in high-income countries is projected to contract by 2065 and by 2085 in middle-income countries. As the 20th and early 21st centuries have shown, couples have revised downward their desired fertility rate as child mortality decreases and health care improves. Couples are now having fewer children as the likelihood that their children will survive to adulthood increases. Other factors such as increasing urbanization, greater participation in the workforce, and higher educational attainment among women, and the rising standard of living worldwide, all appear poised to slow population growth further for the foreseeable future. Moderate population growth is a crucial factor for healthy economic growth and for population replacement. More people does not just mean more mouths to feed or more carbon emitters. More people means more laborers and more innovative minds to find creative solutions to problems like world hunger and to make ventures like Breakthrough Starshot a reality. In fact, while 2 billion persons have been added to the world population since 1990, the percentage of undernourished persons in developing countries has fallen from 23% to 13%. And in 2014, we produced food on less land than the amount of land under agricultural use in 1994. It is uncertain how population growth over the coming centuries will, in and of itself, cause the earth to combust. To be charitable, perhaps Hawking's ball of fire statement was merely metaphorical hyperbole. Even so, it was probably not the best choice of words. Let's stick to the facts. Human population is slowing, not exploding. But in any event, there is no evidence to support the claim that population growth per se will cause the earth to become a flaming inferno. This is PRI Review from pop.org. We'll be right back. By now, we all know that Planned Parenthood is accused in the United States of allegedly violating the law by, among other atrocities, selling baby body parts. But what you might not realize is that Planned Parenthood's affiliates, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, PPFA, and International Planned Parenthood Federation, IPPF, are still getting away with murder overseas. Around the world, and especially in Latin America, the baby-killing giant shades the truth about its abortion-related activities. It runs roughshod over local anti-abortion laws and violates local pro-life sentiment, all with seeming impunity. But not anymore. With your tax-deductible gift, PRI will throw the book at the abortion giants overseas, just as pro-life groups are doing here at home. Did you know that PPFA spends about $38 million a year lobbying to legalize abortion in countries around the world? If they're successful, they can kill as many, if not more, babies overseas as they do in the United States. But there's a hitch. Because abortion remains illegal in most Latin American countries, neither IPPF nor PPFA is eligible for government funding for abortion-related activities as they are in the United States. So PPFA, IPPF, gets around it as only they know how to do, by lying. With a wink and a nod, they disguise the programs they are funding as, quote, education or health programs, women's right, human rights protection or promotion, and anti-discrimination initiatives aimed at protecting vulnerable groups such as women or LGBTs, that means lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, end quote. Catholic bishops throughout Africa and Latin America complain about this. They call it ideological imperialism, but their voices are not heard in Congress because America's bishops depend on billions in government funding for their own charities. They don't want to bite the political hand that feeds them. Now, PRI receives no government funding, so we aren't hampered by a golden handcuff. That's why your tax-deductible gift to PRI is so important today. As the lead group investigating Planned Parenthood's activities overseas, PRI's Latin American office has uncovered PPFA's thinly disguised efforts to undermine pro-life laws and legitimate abortion on demand. But we've only found the tip of the iceberg, and there is more work to be done, work that we can't do alone. Your tax-deductible gift will help PRI hire a seasoned pro-life legal team to help us expose, investigate, and prosecute Planned Parenthood's affiliates everywhere they prey on women, especially overseas. Together, we'll expose, investigate, and prosecute PPFA and IPPF everywhere it tries to hide the truth. This two-prong attack, complementing the hearings taking place in Washington, will force Planned Parenthood to fight on two fronts. What better way to strike a blow against the real Planned Parenthood, the one we saw in all those horrific videos, than to come at them here and abroad? So please make a tax-deductible gift to support this and all of PRI's baby-saving efforts around the world. Yes, they're powerful. Yes, they're big. But remember, David and Goliath. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This year, PRI will celebrate the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. This memorable event will be both heartwarming and challenging. All of us are called on to be prepared to celebrate and to defend the truths that Blessed Pope Paul fearlessly promulgated on July 25, 1968. The occasion calls for prayerful reflection and study. As St. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we must put on the full armor of God and stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The Population Research Institute is responding to this challenge by giving its supporters worldwide an invaluable resource for the defense of Humanae Vitae. Dr. Gonzalo Herranz, a revered senior professor at the University of Navarre in Pamplona, Spain, has just finished one of the most important studies of the history of the pro-contraception movement since its earliest origins. Dr. Herranz painstakingly documents both the history of contraception in theory and in practice, carefully analyzing the arguments conjured up by its advocates in the early days of the 20th century and following their development as contraception was practiced more widely and as new techniques became available. To make these findings available to the general public, PRI has created a website that will feature invaluable summaries of each chapter of this magisterial work, providing translations in Italian, Portuguese, French, and English, as well as the original Spanish. That means that hundreds of millions of people throughout the world will have access to the most accurate, thorough, and faithful study of the subject available in any language today. This magisterial work arose out of Dr. Herranz's realization that there are critical elements in the history of contraception that are little known because they have been either ignored or concealed. The work concentrates on developments in the United States because it was here, Dr. Herranz tells PRI Review, that the language developed to advocate contraception as well as the major campaigns to legitimize it were founded. Dr. Herranz and his team of professional colleagues in medicine, theology, and history have made sure that this study would provide an unassailable and rigorous foundation for those desiring to deepen their understanding and work more effectively to defend and to advocate Humanae Vitae throughout the world. Herranz's work begins with a discussion of the origin of the terms contraception and birth control. He reminds us that the latter term was actually created by Margaret Sanger, the notorious founder of Planned Parenthood and the advocate of eugenics and the elimination of the unfit. You might recall that her murderous campaign resonated Adolf Hitler's elimination of the mentally and physically handicapped, as well as the extermination of undesirable races. We should remember Sanger's hatred of life. She often bragged about it. "I believe that there should be no more babies," she told interviewer John Parsons in 1947. "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it," she wrote in 1920. "We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population," she said in 1939. And by the way, Planned Parenthood still names its number one prize of the year after Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Well, from the beginning, with the spirit of Sanger, advocates of contraception strived to hide their true goals. They tried to distinguish between abortion and birth control, a devious enterprise, since many methods were already known to destroy the unborn child. This deception did not escape the attention of the medical profession, and Herranz carefully recounts the history of the discussion carried on in professional circles throughout the years, as they first rejected and then accepted contraception as an ethical medical practice. Through the years, Catholic doctors persisted in their criticism of and opposition to contraception on both medical and moral grounds. Hence, Margaret Sanger welcomed the 1937 decision of the American Medical Association to approve birth control as an integral part of medical practice and education. Therefore, in spite of the opposition of Catholic doctors, physicians who cared for women in the United States during and after World War II and up to the present day have been taught that contraception is part of the package of services they should professionally offer their patients. Of course, the Episcopalian Church in the United States had already declared the morality of birth control at the Lambeth Conference in 1930, but there was still widespread opposition to the practice, to which advocates responded by changing the language, Alice in Wonderland style. Dr. Herranz traces this ideological tactic, understood so well by Confucius and George Orwell, and even Humpty Dumpty. Suddenly, control of fertility was introduced as a term to soften the impact and blur the daunting image of stopping a baby from being born. Dr. Herranz's treatment of the Papal Commission for the Study of the Problems of the Family Population and Birth Rate during the 1960s includes a thorough study of all of the documentation leading to Blessed Paul VI's promulgation of Humanae Vitae on July 25, 1968. His study ends with a consideration of several protagonists in the shadows, a group of experts who quietly approved of contraceptives and abortifacients by introducing a constantly changing vocabulary and scientific approaches. PRI wants to reach tens of millions worldwide with this valuable pro-life project. Please spread the word and help us energize and educate pro-lifers throughout the world in their efforts to save the unborn. This has been the PRI Review from pop.org. Thanks for listening.